result of any of this, anything that I get, or write down or anything like that, I will submit to you. You understand? Before I even keep a record of it, I promise you. I mean, I don't want to impose on you, and I want to have everything cleared 100% so that you think I have it right or I have it wrong or whatever.
To the extent of my limiting ability.
Well.
40 years.
And if you, I think you're
40 years.
You've done totally incredibly well. I can't imagine. If you would like to have anything here that you see or that we talk about here that you would like to have, I will be happy to give you copies of anything and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, including even the logbook, I'm going to reproduce the logbook. Mm-hmm. So you just tell me if you anything here, if you'd like those lists or anything like that, I'll be very happy to provide you with them. And when I, as I say, when I get the thing sort of put together, I hope to have a chronological sequence of things that happened, and also all shown clearly, platted out. On a large scale, but and I'll check it with you before I even put it in my own files. So I want to just give you that reassurance, sir. Your kindness is very much appreciated. Okay, so now Tappan spoke. When he said, after you saw Curie, he spoke of being released, and what it meant to him was that they were on their own. And I didn't get into that really with him.
I didn't open up any.
Not you. Not, no, he wasn't speaking of you. He was speaking of scouting aid and bombing aid. Mm-hmm. And apparently I would say that they must have had a conversation. There must have been a conversation between those two, Ring and the other section leader, whoever it was. And that must have been well after they had left. You had left them, apparently. You left first, in effect. Mm-hmm. And they must have flown on, and then they must have split up. Well, they did split up. And bombing aid went to Midway, and scouting aid went on back, and they got back. Seemingly, they got all the way back to the Hornet. So they had substantially longer range than you did, the F-4F.
Oh yeah.
Much, much longer.
Oh, the F-4F's without the belly tank, yeah.
What was the belly tank? What, how much?
It just looked like a bomb.
Was it 200? Yeah, but how much gallons was it? Was it
I forget.
50 gallons?
Or something like that.
50,
I can't remember.
I remember talking about that, you know. On these anti-submarine patrols, where we flew out of Cherry Point, and we would go out from Hatteras and go south or go north, whatever, about 50 miles off the coast, 75 miles off, all the way up there to the Argentian, was the top. And they put something like 4 depth charges in one of the bomb bays, and they stuffed a 1,000-gallon tank in the other bomb bay. Can you imagine that? God. And we struggled off the decks with those things. And that was one of the things that's just so amazing, because they must have had both bomb bays fully loaded with bombs. Doolittle must have had everything that could stack on the damn airplane. They must have had that planes shackled down to the deck and revved them both up and then just let everything go at once. But I suppose it talks about a 30 knot.
When they launched?
When they launched.
Yeah, that was 26, 28, 30.
Boy, that would have given them a big help. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they had a clear deck, too.
Oh, yeah. But it was just terribly short. Just terribly short. Did you watch them take off?
No, I had to.
Were you on duty or?
No, I was down in the hangar deck in my plane.
I see. Oh, you were ready to go on
ready
patrol. That's right.
Combat air patrol.
Right, right. You and Kelly both went on combat air patrol as soon as those planes were launched.
That's right.
I see.
That was back in April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. On the 18th of April. Mm. By the way, in this action report, it says in accordance with SINGPAC operation plan so-and-so, the Hornet got underway from Pearl Harbor at 11:30, May the 28th, recovering the air group at sea.
That's right.
Just as we figured, mm-hmm. right from the damn logbook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
That's right.
That's an interesting kind of deduction that we made there. It was right, though. So, you never actually saw Bombing 8 and Scouting 8 split up at all.
No, I left them. They were still going.
Yeah.
And the southwesterly direction. They hadn't turned to come back or anything. And I saw.
But by then you.
It was after. See, after I left them, on my way back.
Off to the left.
Off to my left, coming back, yeah. I saw the Jap fleet with the carrier stopped and.
Yes. Oh. And that's the first time that you knew where the hell they were.
I knew where they were, and I knew that they'd. That there was no danger of attacking Pearl or anything like that again.
Oh, when you saw them burning, well, they must have made some bonfire already. You could have seen that smoke from the United States almost. That must have been towering.
But then, I couldn't understand this was why I don't think the bombers. Well, so one of them went into Midway, one group.
Yes.
Bombing 8.
Bombing 8 went to Midway.
But the Scouting 8 came on back.
Went all the way back.
But why they couldn't see and didn't see the Jap fleet?
They never saw it. Report of them ever seeing anything.
Oh, gosh, I saw them.
Bombing 8, now get this one. Bombing 8 landed at Midway, got refueled, and were given orders to go back and attack the Japs. And they flew back to the Hornet. They did not go back.
They didn't?
They did not. They did not. Now, whether that order was countermanded in the air or whatever,
well, somebody didn't.
I don't know. But that's part of this report.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a curious kind of thing. Man, why in the hell they... You know, they knew where the Japs were, and they knew all about it then. By that time, oh God, Midway had the hot poop on them because they had picked them up very, very early with those two PPYs.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew where they were all the time. And so the Bombing 8 was instructed, they were all refueled, instructed to get back out there. They got back out, but they went right to the Hornet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what ever happened about that. Let me ask you this. They talk about these horrendous fires. Okay, now, the planes, a bomb that would drop in the midst of the loaded planes there on the Akagi, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You can just imagine the hell of it. It would just
a mess.
Terrible holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, aluminum burns like crazy after it gets hot enough.
Mm-hmm.
But What about the steel? That doesn't burn, does it, or does it?
No, the steel itself.
The steel part of the ship, you
No, steel part of it.
It didn't burn.
No.
It couldn't burn, could it? It couldn't get hot enough for that, I wouldn't think. I suppose it would melt, parts of it would melt, all right. But, and now that teak decking, I believe that the Japs also had teak decking. That wouldn't, 3.5 inches of teak wouldn't go puff either. I'll tell you, that would take a little time burning.
Well,
but it would blast, it wouldn't have much resistance to blast. Do you remember when the bombs landed on the Hornet, okay, now you saw everything. Apparently the first couple went all the way through the deck. Mm-hmm. And then there was the planes landed, and they had one explode right on contact, or pretty much on contact, on the deck. Do you have any recollection? What was your recollection of that episode?
You mean of the Jap?
With the Jap attack
the Jap
at Santa Cruz.
At Santa Cruz?
Right.
Well, we...
You were up in the air.
I was up in air control.
Air control, mm-hmm. Right.
I was about one deck under the
bridge?
The navigating bridge.
Navigating bridge, mm-hmm. Right. All right, did you see the Jap planes coming into attack?
Oh, sure.
Show them that.
Sure. Have we?
And do you recall the first hit?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was on the
was it a bomb? It was a bomb,
yeah,
first,
bomb.
Wasn't it?
Bomb first.
Mm-hmm. Was it aft, forward, or?
No, it was we had one hit aft. Actually, when the actual attack came, we were ordered to take cover inside the the little bit of an armored section in the island.
I see. So you wouldn't have seen
actual bomb hit.
Yeah.
You could feel them play.
Oh yeah, I bet you felt them play.
No,
right.
There offshore myself. And,
so you had a shelter area there.
It was a shelter area, but I mean a bomb hit directly on us would have taken care of.
Yeah. Talk about that Ingersoll episode. Apparently that 50 caliber bullet went right straight through the armor and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, they're terrific. That 50 caliber is a main thing.
It really must have been. Now, do you remember seeing the planes that crashed into the ship at all before they hit her? Or were you still...
No, we were inside then.
You were still inside. And I believe the torpedoes... I think they were last, apparently. How long was it? The account, I believe, says that they had the fire under control in pretty quick...
Fairly quick time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was another thing that was just astounding, because the Japs never got the fires, even any semblance of control
over them.
None at all.
I think we had much better compartmentation
for
survival and all like that, damage control and all that.
Must have been. Just must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Must
have been. No.
Light's bad for you.
No, I'm all right. That's all right, sir. That's all right. And you did not, when you got back to Pearl Harbor to the hospital, there weren't any other of those fellows, the survivors there. Is that right, in the same hospital? You would have known, surely.
No, they, people came from the ship to see me.
Yeah.
But, and Captain Mitcher and the Zach Henderson and and Ring.
Was Ring?
I made, or forced Ring, the group commander that I was supposed to protect.
Yes.
I made him acknowledge in front of the captain and the exec that I couldn't have got back with to the ship. The amount of gas I had.
Oh, I wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. No, you had no chance at all.
But I made a basic mistake, I guess, for not just going by Midway itself. It looked to me like a devastated place from some distance I could see.
No, sir. Midway was pretty well battered up. You couldn't have done hardly any more than make it. You could have just barely made it anyhow. I don't know whether you could have made it. Remember, two of the SBDs, one of them did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 miles short. The other one just went into the lagoon, didn't have enough, he was gliding down, didn't have enough to even make the end of the runway. So, if they couldn't have done it, I don't know how any of the X-Rex could have done it. I don't believe you could have made it. I honestly don't. See, Curie is a hell of a long way. That's quite a little distance.
Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And when you turned your mind around and said, oh hell, well, I'm going back to Hornet, you started thinking, in terms of how far it was to get back there,
yeah.
But you were a lot farther west, probably, than you thought.
Somebody's here.
Delivering
something,
aren't
you?
Oh,
yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? See, yeah, you could have made Curie, but you never would have made Midway. I don't believe it. Oh my, you got something there.
Oh my wife, getting something from.
We usually go down to Florida the latter part of January and spend 2 or 3 months.
I see you're an old lazy goosey, man.
I'm getting away from games. I'm becoming more of a reader.
Yeah. My wife loves that game, but I after you play two or three games.
I'm going to send you, if I may, I'm going to send you with my compliments, a copy of the Typhoon. I want you to read that.
Okay.
Book. I'm sure you'll appreciate it.
Well, look,
they had 140 airplanes swept off the decks of those carriers in that storm. Can you believe that? 140 off the carriers were lost.
Then Bull never came up before a court?
Never came up. Had a hearing and that was all. That was all. God, how he ever got away with that.
Didn't the destroyer two turn over there or something?
Three destroyers, a hull of Spence and a Monahan. and the Dewey came with it a gnat's ass, and so did the Alwyn. Both of them just barely mm-hmm. made it. Stack lost. Stack over the side. Can you believe that? You like a destroyer with no stack on it. God, I'm going to send you that book. Well, listen, I really appreciate your kindness in going through this.
Well, I just hope
I'm going to, when I kind of get a little bit further along, I'd like to sort of get checked back with you.
All right.
And I want to be sure to that you have every assurance that I'm not about why I'm doing this and what I'm doing. I'm not writing a book.
I'm not doing
anything
sure.
like that. And mm-hmm. everything, as far as I'm concerned, even before I make any permanent record of it, I'm going to clear everything that I keep with you. All right?
You.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be sure of doing that. And if you want, and any part of it or any part of this that you may would like to have, I'll be in subsequent contact with you, and anything else that I run across that may be of interest to you, I'll be happy to give you a copy of it. In the late spring, I think it's what's Memorial Day?
30 May. Isn't
30
it?
May, something like that. We have a service that is conducted at the. Oh, they have a little kind of a commemorative monument out in the graveyard where Kelly Sr. was buried, and mm-hmm. they have a Memorial Day service in Mark's name there, and we have various military and naval and military and speakers, and thought occurred to me maybe you would like to come up this year if you have a chance, or if you're going to be around at that time. I'll tell you a little, send you a little bit more information mm-hmm. about it. Maybe you'd like to give us a little talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing much, but we would be very honored. And it's on Memorial Day, and it's we just have a little luncheon, and you know, that's all it is. But this foundation has, I'm sure that Mark Kelly, it's the last thing in the world that he would have thought would happen, knowing sort of the kind of a guy that he was. He was a flamboyant guy, but he was a modest guy at the same time, seeming to me and dying to me. But his father was...
Mark was one of the most exemplary young officers.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Clean cut.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the guy. All right. And he, well, at any rate, what we do, we have certain guidelines to use. We disperse about $200,000 a year, mm-hmm. and have for 30 years, whatever it's been, 35. Mainly to educational institutions,
mm-hmm.
but not of higher learning, in the high school, in that mm-hmm. level, from the Maryland Scholastic mm-hmm. Association.
What was Mark's college, by the way?
Went to University of Maryland.
University of Maryland.
Yeah, for 2 years. And he played lacrosse. He was an all-American mm-hmm. lacrosse player.
They had good lacrosse, too.
Well, yes, they were champions.
They in the Navy used to fight it out.
Oh, gosh, I'll say, my brother went to Princeton, and he was an all-American
My brother, I had a brother in 24 at West Point, Dick, and he was on the lacrosse team up there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a retired colonel down at San Antonio, Texas now, retired. And I have another brother, Bill, who was Annapolis 24.
Oh.
And I was 27.
Yeah.
And my father got three sons in the service this year.
Well, and you were from originally from Tennessee.
Well, I was born there. My father was an Englishman, native born, came to America as a fairly poor man, been in mining as a young man and over in Cornwall. And he had became a well-known mining engineer down in that part of the country, in zinc and lead and all. And he mined as a young man out in British Columbia and in Idaho and Montana.
Huh. Well, actually you were born in Tennessee.
I was born in Copper Hill, Tennessee.
But how about your brothers? Where were they?
They were both born Michigan, I think.
He moved around.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And
Mark went to Maryland.
We moved from when I was three, I guess, down Tennessee.
Oh.
We moved out to Idaho and Butte City, Montana.
So most of your early life was spent in the West then?
Well, the first few years. Yeah. Then we moved back to Tennessee when I was about 6 years old.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And my father was in mining in East Tennessee, zinc and lead mine, and then another place in East Tennessee. So. And he retired from mining there. And about the time I finished the mail academy, he retired.
What I started to say was that we intend that the foundation also does some other things. For instance, we established a fund that was put into the Lacrosse Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
good.
And we do things like that, and we give a number of awards. We give the All American Goalie Award,
mm-hmm.
Lacrosse Banquet, and that kind of stuff. And there's an organization that sort of overlooks the high school athletic activities around the greater Baltimore area called the Maryland Scholastic Association,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially an association of athletic directors of the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of activities with them. And beyond that, we make very substantial donations to the various schools, like Severin School this year. We've
mm-hmm.
just given them $50,000 for a new...
The old Severin right near Annapolis.
Yeah, you know where Severin is. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... new fields and things. They're embarked mm-hmm. on a big new program to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good school.
Sure.
So this is the type of thing we do. But Gilman and McDonough and friends and,
mm-hmm.
and all of them, St. Paul's, and they've all received very, very substantial.
I never asked before because I just met Mark had us, had my wife and me just up, say, one weekend, just overnight and
uh-huh.
dinner and very pleasant.
He lived on Charles Street.
Yes.
Then. Remember up there near Hopkins?
Near Hopkins,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And did he have any brothers or sisters?
No.
No wonder about that.
No brothers or sisters and just no family. His
mm-hmm.
mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
There's no family. I don't think there's anybody even very related to him at all.
Well, his I don't think I met his mother, did I?
And they were divorced.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And his mother lived, I think, in California for a long time. You would have only met his father, probably.
I met his father and Miss Poncel.
And Miss Poncel, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That oh, man. God, Rosa Poncel. Oh, jeez. She just died.
As long as
you believe it? And she was, I'll tell you, man, she must have been 90 years old. Jeez. But she, there's something beyond that even. But she just died. She was a very active
in society.
Gal, that's and, oh thing. Yeah, Lord, she just played it up big. And, she was a good friend of a fellow that I have a lot to do with in the real estate business. He lived out near her. She lives out on Valley Road. Green Spring Valley, nice place, beautiful place. But she was a sort of a local character, as well as a great opera star. Mm-hmm. But after she retired, she used to live it up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see Kelly Senior becoming interested. Because he was always the kind of guy that, in contrast somewhat to Mark, he was a guy that was always kind of going, well, he was a politician.
Mm-hmm.
He was essentially, he loved politics.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to the police president of the city council. Mm-hmm. And at one point something happened to the mayor, and so he was the acting mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But the family's gone. So there's nothing now except the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, another old part of myself, the only two that are having to do with it, and my sons now are coming along, and that's where that's going. And it has become enough of a local institution for me to want to get any untied ends done up. And that's the only reason I've come down here and bothered you.
You haven't bothered me.
Well,
no, it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
I think
that I wish I could be a little more lucid remembering back little things of 40 years ago.
It's very difficult to do that. My Lord, there isn't an F4F anywhere in the world today, I don't suppose. but they were a great machine.
I used to get my flight time in them out at when I went to the air department of the in the summer of 42, around Hawaii.
Sure.
I would fly from one island to the other in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were a good airplane.
Good sturdy airplane.
They were good solid.
Good solid airplane.
Yeah. I think the Zero just had too much. Well.
It had maneuverability and stuff like that, but you put four 50s.
Oh yeah.
450 caliber bullets. Well,
yeah.
Strings at them going
there. Oh, yeah,
Well,
Smokey Stoner did pretty well at the canal, I'll tell you. He did all right. But he was a guy, do you remember him?
Well, I remember Smokey Stoner, yeah.
Well, he must have been reading the book.
He had a lot of moxie, I guess.
Yes, but he was a cautious kind of a guy at the same time. But he got to be an ace, you know, he got five or something, whatever it was. But he had one incident that, if you read between the lines, it was a fascinating kind of thing, that it must have absolutely scared him to death, as well as being a very heroic thing. He apparently, there was a a zero, they had some floats. They had put floats on the zeros on some of them. And apparently they had some down there that were flying down the slide from the upper part of Rendover or Wonder or whatever it was, up a little further near Columbus Yard. And one day he ran to this float and he saw him in the same time the float plane saw it. So they start right for each other. And they keep coming right at each other. God, they fly right into each other. They banged into each other. And Smokey landed with the fabric of the plane with the red ball on it, on the forward leading edge of his wing. Can you believe that?
What was he flying out of where?
Guadalcanal.
Out of Guadalcanal.
Right out of Henderson Field. What was came in. And they could not believe it. And he couldn't. Well, he said something funny about, well, he was going to know whether they go right or left or up or down or whatever, and he was scared to do anything. And the other guy was doing the same thing.
So too close to maneuver.
At the last minute, they go like this. And it tore the wing off the other plane. But see, his plane was stronger. The wing was literally stronger. And went right, just sliced right through.
Did he get credit for one more plane?
He got credit for the plane! That's awesome! God, and he said he never wanted to do a thing like that. Oh, God, that was...